Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. It works for members like...
I'm Haley, and I've lost 100 pounds. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. It's all in one place.
Weight Watchers handles the insurance for you and offers affordable cash pay options. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
I'm Mike, and I've lost 135 pounds. Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
I'm Sharia, and I lost 80 pounds on Weight Watchers.
I realized that it would take more than a prescription to lose weight and feel good on a GLP-1.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last.
I can't imagine doing a GLP-1 without Weight Watchers.
Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com/GLP-1. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Weight Watchers, watch it work. Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s.
Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects.
With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last. Get started today for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com.
Hey y'all, welcome to another episode of Jesse's Fireside Chats. I hope y'all had a very Merry Christmas, and I apologize for the long break. I want to talk about a couple things today. First, I want to say that while I've been very clear about how euthanasia is a sin, we are not dogs and we should not treat our fellow man as such. I do also want to say that I support the right to try. What is the right to try? It's essentially the idea that someone who is, usually it's used to refer to someone who is just terminally ill, but I would expand it to say that anyone who has an incurable condition, even if that condition still allows them to live a relatively healthy life, if somebody has an incurable condition of any kind, there is no established cure that we know about anyway, because I still believe that the government and Big Pharma are working together to hide the cancer cure from us, because Big Pharma makes a lot of money from treatments of cancer, a lot more than they would from curing it. But anyway, anyone who has an incurable condition of any kind, even if it's not terminal, even if they can still live a long, healthy, or at least relatively healthy life with it, especially if they are over 18 and can consent, can have more of a hope of knowing the risks, and acting accordingly, they're a legal adult, they should be able to try cures that have scientific promise, even if it means that they don't end up getting cured, even if the cure doesn't end up working, they should at least have a right to try it. And if this does mean that they unintentionally go home early, if you catch my drift, I don't have an issue with that, because the cure was intended to prolong their life, or improve it, or both, by curing whatever condition they had. If they unintentionally passed away while trying it, I mean, that is sad, that is unfortunate, but at least they were not intending to end their own life, and so I don't have a problem with that. What I do have a problem with is someone intentionally ending another human life, except in the case of the death penalty for very specific offenses, mainly murder and abortion. And I know some people are going to ask, you know, how can you be pro-life and also support the death penalty? Well, when somebody does receive the death penalty, either now or when somebody would receive it under the expansions that I support, that person would have been tried, convicted. They would have had due process. They would have, I don't think that you should sit for 20 years appealing. I think it should be like 90 days, but you should have a chance to appeal. You know, so you've been tried, you've been convicted, you've had a chance to appeal. You know, and, so that's different because you are being punished for atrocities that show that you don't have much respect for human life and that you have violated the very basic, rules of being a human, and, you have committed sins that are simply, they're not unforgivable to God. God can forgive anyone who truly repents, but they are sins that should be punished, to the greatest extent, possible. And in this life, that would mean execution. Because those sins are so egregious, they should be punished to the greatest extent possible in this life. God will ultimately decide what happens to you in the next life based on if you repent sincerely or not. But in this life, which is the life that we, that governments do, in which governments do have the capacity to punish a criminal, there are certain things that should warrant a death sentence. And so, in that case, I do support the death penalty. I mean, God okayed the use of the death penalty in the Bible. In fact, his laws that he gave to the ancient Israelites, they prescribed death sentences for a lot of things that I do not necessarily support death sentences for, in our time and place. They're in the Bible that we use today for a reason. It's all the Word of God. But a lot of the laws, not all, but a lot of the laws back then were for that specific time and culture. We can learn from them, but that does not necessarily mean we have to implement all of them. And so where I'm going with that is to say that that is how I can rationalize being pro-life, because God knits us together in our mother's wombs, and he decides when we will go home, and when we will be judged. You know, he decides all of that, but he also did permit the use of the death penalty for certain offenses. And in fact, for more offenses than I would think are necessary for our modern culture and place. So, anyway, in short, my stance is this. We are not dogs. Euthanasia is a grave moral evil that should make you sick, and if it does not, we are going to have a problem. But at the same time, if somebody intends to prolong and or improve their life by trying a cure that has not yet been FDA approved and established for any condition that does not yet have an established cure, whether that condition is terminal or not, that person should have a right to try cures that are scientifically promising, whether they've been approved for use in other countries, or they've shown promising results in trials, whatever the case may be. That is essentially my stance. And so now I want to move on to another lighter but still important thing, and that is, I've been very clear on my thoughts on the metric system, that the metric system violates the commandment in Leviticus 19, verse 35 and 36, that specifically forbids the use of unjust weights and measures. And that the metric system is a communist invention designed to reject God. That is still my belief, and I highly doubt that will ever change. In fact, I can say pretty much 100% certain that it will not, because it's not even just a belief, it's a conviction. So, with that being said, I am so sick and tired of hearing these YouTubers and such argue that the U.S. should switch to the metric system just because the rest of the planet has. So if you hold that view, if you think that the U.S. should switch to a system of unjust weights and measures just because the rest of the world has done so, I got a question for you. Actually, it's going to be a few questions. So, if the rest of the world was lighting their own hair on fire, would you say we should too? If the rest of the world was drinking bleach, would you say we should too? If the rest of the world was sitting on nails, would you say we should too? If the rest of the world was eating glass, would you say we should too? I think you get the point. And that is that while we are not intended to live as hermits in the woods, you know, we are intended by God to live in communities and to follow and obey certain instructions from Him as the King of Kings and the Creator of the universe, and also from authorities He has appointed, we are not supposed to just do whatever the rest of the world is doing just because they are doing it. I mean, there are so many passages in Scripture that say that Israel should not do X, Y, or Z just because the rest of the nations are doing it. It doesn't use those exact words, but there are lots of passages in the Old Testament and a few in the New that say, like, don't do X as the hypocrites do, or don't do Y as the nations do, or as the heathen do, or, like, you get the idea. I mean, it clearly says, at one point, don't sacrifice your children as the nations do. I mean, that's an extreme example, but, and then a more lighthearted example, but still one that we should remember. I use the term lighthearted fairly loosely here because it's still a commandment from God, but Jesus says we should not pray loudly and in vain repetitions as the hypocrites do. I mean, I may be conflating two passages there, but he is essentially saying that just because, because Jesus is God, so it's the same one saying both things, both testaments, and both the examples that I gave that are from the Old and the New Testament, since Jesus is God, He is saying all of those things. So He is saying that whoever He is talking to, whoever His people are that He is talking to in any given passage, should not do a thing just because the other people are doing it, the nations around them, or the authority figures in their communities. And so I would say that because the metric system is a set of unjust weights and measures, because anything created to reject God is unjust by definition, that same mentality, that same idea should apply, that we should not do what the nations do, in that we should not adopt their unjust set of weights and measures just because they all have. I mean, in Revelations, I'm not saying, because I don't believe that the metric system is the mark of the beast. I don't think we have seen the mark of the beast yet. Contrary to what some might say, and when they have said that we've seen it, it's been other things, not this. But, you know, in Revelations, it warns against, it warns that there will be a mark of the beast that everybody must have, or they can't buy or sell. So it essentially does warn that you'll have to do with it what everybody else is doing, which is to get the mark. If we will live through that particular tribulation, which is debated by Bible scholars and churches and such, and I don't fully know what I believe on that, because Revelations, I'll be honest, is hard to understand. But what I will say is this: the idea, while it is true that we need to obey and follow certain instructions given by God and by authorities that He appoints, it is also true that we are not supposed to just do whatever everybody else is doing just because they're doing it. It's the same idea that probably every mom in America has tapped into when she said to her teenage kid, if everybody else was jumping off a bridge, would you do it? In fact, I believe that is called the ad populum fallacy. And I talked about that in one of my logical fallacy episodes, so feel free to check that out. And actually, I would say that if you want to see how blind herd mentality turns out when it is applied, applied to its extremes, you just have to look at the country, the cult, whatever you want to call it, North Korea. Which I did an episode on that called Six Reasons Why North Korea is a Cult. And I am no less convinced that North Korea is a cult than I was the day I made that episode. So with all of that, I hope you have enjoyed this episode. I will try to have a more regular schedule of episodes, but I make no clear promises. My life is still kind of up in the air right now. So, we will just have to see. Anyway, I hope you've enjoyed this episode or considered it to be food for thought, or informative in some way. You can find this podcast on Spotify, Amazon Music, the RSS feed, Audible, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, and Pandora. You can also contact us on our Facebook page at Jesse's Fireside Chats and on X at JFSCPod. You can also feel free to send us an email if you'd like at jessesfiresidechats@gmail.com. That's J-E-S-S-E-A-S, firesidechats@gmail.com. And if you'd like to be a guest, feel free to reach out to us at any time using one of those ways that I've just outlined. And no pressure, but we have a Ko-fi page, so if you'd like to leave us a small donation, we would really appreciate it. That's kofi.com/Jesse's Fireside Chats. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. Thank you, and have a blessed day.
I was a soldier, then a veteran, a husband, and a father, and with my VA home loan, I'm a homeowner. No down payment required and no PMI. Build your future with the VA home loan. Get what you earn. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for this hyper amount of benefits mentioned here.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.